money.
You owe me money.
Give me my money.
Yes, you do. Yes,
you
do.
You owe me money.
You owe me.
Give me my money.
Hi, I'm Dara M. Wilson.
And I'm Yasmeen Khan.
And this is Money Haha,
the podcast where smart, funny friends bring money talk out of the shame drawer and onto the table.
Each week, we discuss one of those money topics that pretty much everyone struggles with, but nobody feels comfortable talking about. And now, let's introduce our guest.
Sipiwe Moyo. She is a mom, an actor. She's on upcoming episodes of Orange is the New Black. What else do you want to say about yourself, Sipiwe? She's also my accountability buddy.
I'm honored to be your guest today. How about that, first of all?
Yeah.
And what else about me? Yeah, that's me in a nutshell. A mom and an actor. And I'm really excited about Orange coming out because it's the last season. So that's kind of sad, but also exciting. And yeah, I know Yaz because I'm her holistic health accountability partner.
Yeah, we met last
that's
summer.
Not our official name, but I just made it up.
I like it. I love it. We met last summer and we're like instantly like, I understand you.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. I don't think I've ever made a friend like that as an adult before. Like, oh, you're my new best friend.
It was really fun.
Mm-hmm. It was like my one night out that I've had in years. And I was like, oh my God, I need a new best friend. And yeah, it all worked out.
I'm like, okay, we have to talk every week. And so that's what we set up.
That's so lovely.
Yeah. I used to be a holistic health coach in my former life. And I would check in with people. So what we would do is it was like a 6-month program. And people would tell me their goals. And after like an hour of talking, giving them suggestions and different health approaches, you know, I would give them a couple suggestions. So that's kind of the template that I used when we started checking in with each other for our health accountability.
Yeah. And it's nice because we kind of get to support each other back and forth instead of like it feeling more like a one-way thing.
So we've all been dying to hear, Sipiwe, how are you doing today?
Well, it's a riveting tale of I'm doing great. My daughter went to camp today, so I had my 3.5 hours of freedom, which is always nice.
Nice.
Because when you're a toddler mom, 3.5 hours is really, you're winning. And so I got to the gym, I got through my workout, and yeah, now I'm with you guys. So I'm having one of those kind of bubbly, fun days.
I'm so grateful that you're giving us some of your free time. I feel like we're getting like gold from your day. So thanks.
Oh, yes. It's very valuable. I'm not going to lie. It's in high demand. Yeah. Other than that, I'm just chilling.
This is our first call-in show where you're calling from all the way on the other side of the country.
Yeah. You guys are so far away. I mean, it's a wonder of technology. You guys sent a very nice gentleman out to my home.
Yeah. I kind of neglected to mention like some guy is going to come to your house, by the way.
No. David and I are like BFFs now. As you know, I make fast friends, as you may have experienced with me in our fast friendship. And David is now, you know, my homie, as they say.
As they say, your homie.
How are you guys?
We're doing great. We're going to just keep on chugging through. But before we go on, we got some mail from our listeners in response to our expensive pets episode. So let's read it. Yasmeen, you want to take a crack?
Yeah, we got a shout out that said, things I learned from Money Haha Pod. Reindeers are not real. Reindeers are not pets. Labor practices in the North Pole. Lol, even if you have $1.95 in your bank account, or especially if I do, the podcast is fun to listen to and educational and about reindeer and stuff. So
who's that from?
That's from at Muslim Samaya.
Also, in response to our pets episode, we got a voice memo from Morgan from Style and Savings.
Hi, Dara and Yasmeen. I was so glad to hear your episode about expensive pets because sadly, too many pets end up in shelters when their owners can no longer afford to take care of them. Thank you for helping your listeners consider the cost of being a responsible pet owner. Lots of love to Milo and Chloe. Bye.
Thank you so much, Morgan. If you want to send us a voice memo, you can do that at hi@moneyhahapod.com.
So wait, are we saying reindeers are not real? Is this what you're trying to tell me?
This was a revelation that Dara had on our last show.
This is not an accurate reflection of what happened. I was describing a previous revelation that I had had where there was a period of time in life where I did not realize that reindeer were real. And I am otherwise a very intelligent woman.
The world needs to know it's not just you, because I was driving in the car with my daughter the other day and we saw a deer. And then my daughter says she called them reindeer. She's like, those reindeer over there. I was like, they're not reindeer. And then it tripped this whole wire in my head of like, where are reindeer? Wait a minute. What are reindeer? Oh my God. I don't know what to teach her about this. So you are not the only one. Thank you. You're healing the world.
That's what I do. Making and it's by change. Exposing my own shame. Every week.
It's an act of generosity.
Mm-hmm.
I bet there's all kinds of things that you learn through your daughter that are like not obvious when you're a young person.
Yeah. All the time.
It's a crazy constant world.
I have a story about it, but it's not really appropriate because it's a very upsetting story. But yeah, you realize as you're talking how little you know while you're trying to explain things. And then you just hope that they lose interest and stop listening.
If only we had that option on this podcast. Unfortunately, we need to continue to be well-researched and have an understanding of what we're talking about.
It's good to know what we don't know so we can go to the internet and try to figure it out.
That's right. Nobody comes to us and like puts a finger in our face and says, tell me about Money Buddies right now. We have a week to...
brought it upon yourself. Yeah.
To get our house in order, so to speak. Speaking of money buddies, that is the topic of the day. That's what we're talking about today. And what is a money buddy? It is kind of like the accountability partnership that Sapiwe and Yasmin have, but for money, for keeping your money in order. We talk all the time about the amount of shame that comes around money and money situations. So we find that it is really effective to designate one person that you're going to expose yourself to. Because not everybody is like Yasmin and I and decide to expose ourselves on a podcast every week.
To the world.
Exactly.
And I think it's really appropriate, too, because, you know, our relationship with money is very similar to our relationship with things like food and health, where it's not just, you know, life would be so much easier if it was just about calories in, calories out, money in, money out. But, like, we're emotional, social creatures. And so having another person in your life, it really like taps into that part of you that really becomes a lot more alert and attentive when there's, you know, some social aspect to what you're doing. And also just gives you that emotional support. So I know sometimes when you and I check in with each other, it's not just like how, like, did you track every day? Did you work out every day? It's like, how are you doing as a person? We started doing like what's new and good too, which I really liked.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, first of all, good just to celebrate that we're even trying. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes the effort is what's going to get you on track to where you want to be. So just having someone else be like, good for you for getting there, and then having a sounding board and to know you're not alone. You're not the only person who's struggling to improve your health or to lose weight or to start cooking more or to start, you know, just generally trying to get in a more positive space. It's good to know you're not alone. And, you know, there's always underlying factors to the reasons why we're doing things. Like, if you're not getting enough sleep, you're going to be eating crazy. And so now you need to make some adjustments. So it's the same thing probably with money. Like, if you're not in a really good headspace, you're probably not going to make the best decisions about money, not be as responsible as you need to be. So it's good to have someone else to talk out some of that stuff too, so you can start to make the adjustments little by little. And I think that's the most important thing about the accountability. It's like, it's not nothing... No big change that you make for the betterment of your health or your finances is going to happen overnight. It's going to have to be gradual, little by little. You chip away with it and hopefully things get better.
Yeah. And it's also nice to like have it sort of designated. In one of our last episodes, we talked about like having this action item of like getting your friends together to talk about like what resources you can share when you have like an income shock, so that you have like this explicit agreement. And this is a little different, but it's nice that we have like this explicit agreement. That way I don't feel like I'm like, you know, when we check in on Sundays, sometimes Tuesdays, it's not like I feel bad. Like, we have this explicit agreement. So I know, like, I can talk to you about how I did this week with like my feelings or my eating or my exercise. And like, we just made room for each other for this.
And I like that you say it's supposed to be on Sundays, but sometimes it's Tuesdays, because life is life, and it's good to have it on the calendar, but it can be a moving target because things happen, and we don't have a long conversation over the phone. We literally text because that's what fits with our lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So we can text each other, and even that is just, you know, that's what we can do right now. Maybe when we're in our 60s, we'll have these long phone conversations when life slows down a little bit. I don't know. But I think it's really good to make sure that whatever you decide to do for yourself fits with yourself and it fits with what it is you're trying to achieve. So you're not beating yourself up because that's just counterproductive.
I think that's absolutely right. It's like gentle care for each other. I'm going to gently tug us into the next segment of the show, which is the No Judgment Zone. This is a segment where we share our own experiences with our week's topic without judging each other. So, Dara, would you like to get started?
Sure. I don't actually think I have a lot of things in my life where I feel, well, here it is. I don't lean on people because I feel like a burden. So I suppose I cannot judge myself or not be judged about the fact that it's really hard for me to establish these kinds of relationships. I love being there for my friends. But in general, when I'm struggling with something, it is a very personal, silent, alone struggle. And then I come out the other side and then I tell everybody. So people, like, very rarely do people think like, oh, Dara keeps a lot of secrets, because eventually you'll find out about everything. But it's like once the thing is over, then I'm like, whoo, girl, let me tell you, I was on a medical leave for 3 months because I was about to die. And I was like, oh, why didn't you say anything? I'm like, oh, you know. Don't want to be a bother, but yep, sure was in the hospital. Anyway, let's move on. And so that's kind of where I am now. And I am slowly, surely, keeping my eyes peeled for where I can actually lean on people. But I also find that it makes it easier not to be disappointed in anyone when you don't have expectations for your relationship. But maybe if we do things like we're talking about here, which is actually establish something that, usually this word sounds bad, but I don't mean it in a bad way, but something that's more transactional, that it sets expectations on both sides. So then maybe I would feel less guilty about actually reaching out and asking for help or support or recognition, which is at this point probably something that I only get from my parents, because I also don't brag about myself to people either. So it's like a phone call, like, hey, guess what? I did this thing. And they're like, that's great. I'm like, it's not that great. Anyway, so I also am not good at receiving it. And I know people don't like that. So I also don't want to put that on people too. So that's where I am. Don't judge me.
No judgment.
No judgment.
Whenever I listen to this podcast and I hear this segment, I always think of that song. I don't know can I say the names of songs? Is that like illegal to say that? The song No Flex Zone. Do you guys know that song?
No Flex Zone version of the, we don't have songs today, sadly.
Sorry,
but
guys, I'm behind. It's very hard to keep up with all the podcasts.
I did a No Flex Zone version.
Well, I am so glad you did that. And I'm looking forward to hearing it once I catch up.
No, it's on me. I didn't do a good enough job so that anybody knew what it was, but it made me happy.
I love that song.
Yeah, that song where you listen to it and you're like, oh, this is fine. And you're like, wait, how old are these children?
I know, they're like 12.
They're so, but it's like, young.
It hits you in your spirit, that song.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you guys need to sing it now.
Oh, no, that's all right.
Are you sure?
Well, Sapiwe, would you like to sing it?
I think that you all should search on your Apple Music search bar for No Flex Zone by, I have it here. Who are the artists?
Isn't it Ray Schremer?
Young guys. Yes, Ray Schremer. Go ahead and you'll enjoy that very much.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah.
Everyone's turtling in today.
Good people. Nope. Good people of the audience.
We like to leave you guys a lot of mystery. We like to, like, you know.
And a lot of research.
On the edge of your seat.
And shout outs to Ray Schremer.
That's right. Yeah. Yasmin, what about you? What's your no judgment story this week?
Oh, my no judgment story. It's like a / confession, but I will say I'm probably on the other end of the spectrum than you, which I'm wondering if it's like the difference in our families where, like, you're an only child and your parents are like really like like your mom came on our show. She's like super like present.
I did listen to the episode with your mom and that was amazing.
Oh.
Yeah. I learned so many life lessons.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Like when you have Sharon, like you don't, who needs friends?
Exactly.
Right? Oh my gosh. I have friends. I just use my friendships in a different way than other people.
No, that's so fair. I have a lot of siblings and like my parents are like great people. They've like done a lot, you know, coming from Mexico and coming from Pakistan and building a life here, but they're not like, I guess maybe as involved in my life. And maybe that's just partly just because I have, like I grew up in a different culture than they're from. So I'm really always been used to like leaning on my peers and leaning on the people around me. So as a kid, that was my siblings. As an adult, it's the friendships that I make and just, I'm always just sort of out there and I love connecting with people. But I've learned in my older age that it's nice to be really selective about those people.
Mm-hmm.
And, right? And yes.
I had to give you an amen on that one.
The high quality people only. Because otherwise people will drain you and they will take your, you know. If, you know, I have a tendency to like want to just be there for people. Also because like I need that in return. There's like a reciprocity to it. But you like need to find the right, the you know, the people with the right values and the right set of boundaries and those things. But for my no judgment zone, I will say that I have just been like we were saying earlier, like usually Sapu and I check in with each other on Sundays. And this week I probably checked in on like a Tuesday. And I will get like, and I know that like our check-in is a time that like means a lot to me. And I want to like really read the text message. So sometimes I don't read the, I'll like save the message. Like I'll leave the alert, like the little red dot and not read it right away. Cause I know that I need to like sit and read it when I have like real mental space and there's no distractions and I can actually fully read it and respond. Which means that sometimes like I won't read a text for like 24 hours, which I feel really bad about.
Don't feel bad about that. Yeah, that's life.
I feel like in this day and age, if you don't read somebody's texts within like 2 hours, they're like so upset with you. But that is the nice thing of like, we have this like kind of agreement. I think it's probably not as bad.
Yeah.
What's fun is when we do the video messages to each other. I like that.
So I just think there's something, well, you know, the one, I do listen to another podcast, Oprah's, hello, and she always talks about time and taking time for yourself being the most valuable thing. And yet it's one of the most difficult things, especially for, you know, proactive women on the go, such as ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that giving yourself and ourselves permission to take that time, it makes sense that it happens sometimes a few days later or sometimes you're like, oh, let me just skip this week. I'm too busy. But you really do because those little text messages might be the thing that eventually keeps us from having high blood pressure or like some big high impact issue down the line. Well, just to be a little bit on the serious side, I think Dara, I definitely relate to what you were saying about having a hard time putting yourself out there to other people. But I went through a very difficult time, like in the last year and some change, like last year and a few months, where I lost my dad and my sister. And I call it my grief goggles. Well, thank you for saying that. And again, this podcast is called haha. So this is not a very haha thing to say. But I was going to say that the grief goggles is what I call them. It like really puts into focus like the people who can come out and like be there for you in a way that you never even knew you needed people to be there for you. Mm-hmm. Like you never even thought you could allow people to. And then some people are not able to handle that as much for their own reasons. And it's not like a fault, but it's just, it happens. And so I think that's where I learned, like, you know, for your survival, we really need people in our lives to help us get through this life. And so I think that, and that's part of, you know, also how I shared this with Yaz when I first met her. So I think we had this kind of very close, deep bond very quickly because of the understanding of the grief goggles. They're no joke. Like they help you see the people who can really step up.
They're real.
They're very real. And I will say, in terms of finances, though, I have a lot of what you guys talk about, anxiety, being transparent about that. Like, I come from a family culture of not talking about it to our own detriment. And so it fills me with like a lot of anxiety to talk to other people about my personal finances. Obviously, besides my husband, he's probably the only person I talk to very candidly about that kind of thing. And even then, sometimes I'm like, I don't need to know everything. But so what I realized the challenge is that if my parents had talked to me more about finances, then I wouldn't have to be learning so much now as an adult and like have to learn the habits of like save this much, use this much, invest this much, and like the brass tacks and like read all those books and try to like, you know, incorporate these things into my lifestyle because I need to teach my daughter this. So I guess the shame, no judgment zone part is I am, as an adult, having to learn the like basics of personal finance. You know, I'm a functional adult and everything like that. Like, I'm not in any trouble, but I want it to be natural to her. I want her to know that when she gets a dollar, this is what you do when you get $1. Like, so that by the time she gets to college and by the time she gets to those crazy times where you can start making some very wild decisions, it's sort of a part of her. Because I see this in other people whose parents were doing this. And so I think we're going to have a lemonade stand soon. So I'm really excited about that. And so I'm just trying to learn how to teach a young person about personal finance because I'm still like a little toddler sometimes when it comes to these things. And that is my shameful, no judgment, confession.
Not shameful.
Not shameful at all. That's so much wisdom packed in there. I think there's still a lot of people who, you know, on the show sometimes I talk about, I've interviewed a lot of people about money and a lot of people I talk to, that you start to see that as a defining feature of like, most people's parents don't talk to them about money, and you usually learn about it by seeing their mistakes or seeing what they should have done or learning out, you know, you learn at age 30 that like we're like so in debt. So it's nice to have that awareness and to be setting that up for your daughter, because that I think it makes a big difference in their confidence in thinking about these things, as opposed to like suddenly for the first time being offered a credit card when they're 18 and being like, ooh, free money, and then learning all the things the hard way.
Yeah, so now let's dig in a little deeper and learn more about this week's topic.
Sipiwe, if you are somebody, I'll put in high quotes, somebody's accountability buddy, what should you keep in mind?
Well, I think one of the most important things about being an accountability partner is listening. Like really listening to what the other person is saying their goals are, hearing a little bit of the stuff around that, but hearing what they say their goals are, because your job is to hold them to those goals and let them know a little bit when things have shifted away from that, or maybe we need to move the mark a little bit because maybe your goals have changed. But to me, I think listening is one of the key components.
I like what you're saying here too, because it reminds me of like that the point of this is accountability. And this is a little different from like what I think we see a lot, particularly I spend a decent bit of my life on the Instagram. And we talked a little bit about in the past episodes about there is that sort of Instagram life of like, yes, girl, everything you do is amazing. Like, you know, you poop rainbows and butterflies and every fault you have is a strength. And to some extent, it's really nice to support each other. But I think real friends also hold you accountable and don't just, you know, blow sunshine at you when there are things that, you know, you're not showing up for that you say you want to show up for. And so I think what you're talking about here is like listening and like actually like to the depth of like what a person's saying, where they're coming from, and how it relates to like the intentions we set for ourselves.
And it's important too, because a lot of the reasons why you might have that goal, let's say it is losing 5 pounds, or let's say it is saving $5,000. The reason why you haven't is because there may be something that is getting in your way that you can't see. So having another person who's going to be like, well, with love and hopefully with good suggestions of something you didn't think about before, can help you achieve this thing that you say you want so deeply. And maybe losing 5 pounds isn't a good example, because I've stopped having that as my goal, actually. I've taken my scale and I've put it in the closet and I don't want to see it for a long time. So if it's like a more prolonged sense of contentedness on a day-to-day basis, there's something that's in the way, and talking to someone about it and having them listen and point out, hey, maybe have you thought of different apps you can use for meditation? Or have you thought about different apps you can use for tracking your spending? Having someone come in with that gentle, loving, urging in the right direction of where you want to go, I think it's beneficial for everyone. And people trust you more when you put yourself out there more.
That's true. What, on that note, like, you know, you mentioned a little bit of like thinking about just sort of like more than just what the actual goal is, but other things around it. What are like meditation? What are some of the techniques for doing more of a holistic check-in with each other?
Well, I like that question that we have, what's new and good, because it definitely, because it's very easy to start out complaining or kind of go into the valley, and we're all trying to get out of the valley as it is. So starting out with what's new and good kind of gives you the encouragement of like, oh, I actually have done something worthwhile this week and I can probably do more. So that's good. Because then when you lead into that with whatever the next goal is, like this time I want to get on the bike 4 times instead of just the 2 that I was able to, you feel encouraged that you're able to accomplish that because you remember, oh yeah, I can do this. I've done improvement before. For me, it's also important, like I said, the listening is important, deep listening, having specific structure, like what's new and good. Okay, well, here's a couple. We don't make suggestions for each other. Yaz and I, we set our own suggestions. But if you can probably do it the other way around where you say to the other person, hey, you know, I've been hearing that you wanted to do this. Why don't you open this bank account with this different kind of bank that doesn't have these fees or whatever? Or, you know what I mean? You can make suggestions to the other person because you use each other as a resource. So I think having a structure that is simple and easy to tweak if you need to later is also really good. Like what's new and good? Here's a couple suggestions. Let's check in this time. It's just a text message or an email, but nothing. Because the main reason we don't do these kind of self-care or personal accountability stuff is it just feels overwhelming. So why do it anyway? And then it goes on and on. I think if it seems like it's in manageable chunks, people are more likely to approach it because it's not scary.
Yeah, it's just a little thing. And as you're talking to, I'm realizing too, it's important to sort of find somebody who I think is on the same wavelength as you or having coming from a shared experience. I think you and I both connected and met and connected over not the most fun thing, you know, grief and losing somebody close to you. I had lost my brother a few years ago. And I think that having that sibling grief, not the most fun ha-ha thing to talk about, but it meant that we were starting on the same foot emotionally and we recognized it in each other. And we had our, you know, in the good way, we had our good goggles on because we recognized that this is somebody who really understands and gets me. I think whatever your goal is, having somebody and being able to find somebody who sort of understands the heart of what is meaningful to you is really important.
Yeah.
So that when you do have those little moments together, you're kind of already starting because otherwise you have to build all this context and spend all this time. But if you kind of already have a little bit of shorthand with a person, it makes it easier to have those bite-sized pieces and sort of look at each other as a whole person too.
Yeah. And I think what you say, the heart of it and also the hard work of it and that it's a messy process, like getting to achieving your health goals, it's a messy process. Achieving your financial goals, it's a messy process. There's no, doesn't, the building of something's always going to be a little bit crazy looking. And so if you're okay with being crazy looking to somebody, then you're going to be able to get there. If you want to always present yourself as pure perfection all the time, your Instagram version of yourself, it's going to be really hard to really get in there and do the work. So if it's on a Tuesday, if it's a one line text message, if it's, you know, I just didn't get there this week, let's self-correct, where it's like constantly self-correcting so that you just don't drop the ball. And you got to make sure that the person is willing, like initially, like, are you up for this? Like, are you really going to show up for these text messages? Are you going to show up for these emails, for these phone calls? My dear sweet husband, unfortunately, did ask someone, bless his heart, he asked someone to be a self-accountability partner. And they were like, I just can't. And thank God she was honest about it. But she's like, I have too much going on right now and I don't want to let you down. Unfortunately, I cannot do this for you right now. And I think that conversation up front is really important because it's disappointing when someone doesn't show up when you're really serious about what you're trying to do and they're like, peace out.
That's a hard thing for her to even say.
Oh, yeah. Especially like a very, the person you ask is going to be someone you already think is like caring and conscientious and, you know, so yeah, it was hard, but it's important. She knew she needed to say that, so.
All right. Thank you so much for all that valuable information, Sapiwe. It is now time.
I hope it was valuable.
It was certainly valuable. It is now time for us to move towards our action item. Each week, we give you a simple thing you can do right away to get better at money. And this week, your action item is to, surprise, get a money buddy.
Money buddy. Money, money, money buddy.
We got some advice on making your money buddyship work, actually from an article on Inc.com called 5 Steps to an Effective Accountability Partnership and 2 Things to Never Do. As usual, we will link this in the show notes. So if you're not looking at our show notes, you are missing out.
Well, can I ask you guys a question?
Oh, yeah, please.
What I want to know is an example of, like, especially Yaz, knowing how we set up our accountability check-ins, what, like, could you give me an example of how a personal finance or financial wellness check-in would be like?
Yeah, I think that the tweak, the difference would be where, you know, when we're talking more about, like, our mental and spiritual and physical health and our check-ins. I think a money buddy is somebody where you either have a shared goal of, like, hey, I really want to stop putting money in my credit card, or I really want to start, you know, save towards something, or I really want to start paying my bills on time. That's somebody who either has a similar style or, like, sort of scale of goal, and you guys give each other support throughout the week with money, because money is usually not something people talk about. I think the idea would be that you would have somebody that you sort of check in with and say, like, how'd you do with your savings goal this week?
So, like, say you wanted to pay off a credit card and you're like, I'm going to start putting away an extra, you know, $50 from my paycheck, so that is specifically designated. And then the next week you check in and you'll be like, okay, I got $100 that I put away. Is that something like that?
Yeah. And, like, what helped you this week? And, like, you know, a lot of times what we do is we'll be like, well, what helped and hurt? And oftentimes we're like, well, sleep. I didn't sleep, you know? And so I didn't do the things I'm set out to do. And in a money scenario, I could imagine, you know, other stressors sort of, you know, I worked a late shift and I didn't have time to cook dinner. So I purchased dinner instead, and starting to help each other recognize the patterns where you get thrown off of your goal, I think is important. But yeah, what do you think, Dara?
I think one thing that we haven't mentioned yet is, yes, recognizing the stressors, but also, like, actively celebrating successes. So this is why we thought a person who has any kind of accountability partner can really transfer those skills over to the financial arena, because the tenets of what that check-in looked like are essentially the same. So it's not just having somebody who you're accountable for when things don't go right. It's also having someone there on the positive side when things do go right to encourage you to continue to develop that behavior that you're looking to develop.
Yeah.
I just had an idea.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how long we've been doing the check-ins, but I think we should have a celebration. I don't know, like, 6 months is always a good time, but, like, 6 months to sort of be like, this is what you did, this is what you did, this is what you did, and you're awesome. Just so you have a point in which you feel like we're getting somewhere, instead of just, like, return, you know, regurgitating the same thing every week. So let's put that on our docket, yes.
I like that. I think we should. And that actually jumps us to our third thing, which I'll make first now, which is track your progress. You know, when you have your, I mean, because I think what we're saying too is, like, we've been doing this for a little while, like, do a check-in where you're like, you know, it's been 6 months. Let's look back at how far we've come, or milestones, or, you know, just the fact that we've been doing this for 6 months. I think
we should do a video chat this time.
Yeah, I agree. So track your progress is one of them. And I think that makes space for what both of you guys have been talking about, which is that celebration piece. The other two are not flaking, which we've talked about, like you said, was about really making sure that you're showing up for each other, and having that maturity sometimes to not get into the partnership if you don't think that it's something that you can follow through on, and defining specific outcomes with your buddy, making sure that you have something concrete that you want to get out of it, whether it's, I want to pay off my credit card bill, I want to save up a certain amount, I want to start paying my student loan on time or paying more towards it, whatever it is. Or maybe just, I want to make sure that I have extra money for gas instead of kind of stressing about it, start making little tweaks and changes. But I have something specific. And there's two more. The last two are things that we've talked about a little bit, which are set aside time. So, you know, we've talked about, like, every Sunday we have our check-in, whatever time you and your buddy can work out, that sort of a regular cadence where you just sort of do a light, easy check-in. And the last one is to just pick a good buddy for yourself, somebody who shares your level of commitment and values and availability. And there's two things to never do, Dara.
The two things you should never do are, one is to deprioritize your buddy, which, given all the things we said you should do, completely makes sense as something that you really need to focus on not doing. And two, being judgmental when you or your buddy fail. We talk about that in the no judgment zone all the time, that the no judgment zone is not just about other people not judging you. It is also about you not judging yourself. You have to be kind to yourself and to your buddy, or else neither one of you are going to want to continue the relationship.
Yeah.
Can I do a little role play for you guys?
Sure.
Well, I think people might want to know, how do you approach someone about being their money buddy?
Mm.
Maybe it's a difficult conversation. So I just wanted to give an example of how that conversation might go.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. Does anyone want to be the other one? I can be both characters if you want.
I actually really want to hear you do both characters. Can you have them have different voices? You are a trained actor.
Okay. Your inner monologue is like, I need to take a vacation this year. It's been a very difficult year, but I don't have money for a vacation. I don't deserve to go on a vacation. You know what? I listen to Money Ha Ha podcast and they say that I can set these goals. Maybe I should get a money buddy to help me set up this goal and help achieve it. Let me call up Sarah. Oh no, I don't like phone calls. I'm a millennial, Generation Wire. So let me text Sarah. Hey Sarah, smile emoji. I really want to set this financial goal of saving up for a vacation. I'm scared about it. Do you want to be my money buddy? Help me, you know, achieve this goal. Are there any goals that you want to achieve? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Does anybody else want to be the other text? No?
I'll be like, what is this money buddy you speak of?
OMG, Sapiwe. I was thinking that I also need more help with my own financial accountability. This sounds a little weird, but you're weird, so I think that I trust you enough to give this a go. When do we start? Let's try Saturdays. We just text like this. All right, here goes nothing. XO.
I love that. My biggest takeaway from that is, this sounds weird, but you're weird, so let's go with it. I feel like that should just be like the intro to this episode.
Yeah, like there's perfection is not the goal here.
It is not. It is not, yeah.
Just get it done.
It was worth it. Yeah. It was worth it.
It was worth it is a segment where each of us shares something we spent money on in the past week that we actually feel was worth the money.
That's right. So Yasmeen, what was your it was worth it for this week?
My it was worth it was taking a Lyft home from the airport last night. It was late. I could have taken the train. It would have saved probably $10 taking the train. But it was late. I was super tired. I just really wanted to come home and sleep and have a meal. And I was like at that level of hungry because my life revolves around food. It's a P-way nose. And I was at that level of hungry. Yeah, and I was like at that level of hungry where like I knew if I waited 45 more minutes to eat, I was going to eat the world. And so if I got home faster, I could have like a more moderate meal. And so in a way, it was like, I'm going to pay $10 so I could get home faster so I could just eat like a human instead of waiting 45 minutes to save $10 and eating the entire contents of the pantry. So it was worth it. And I did it. And I done it. And I'll do it again.
Great.
How about you, Dara? What was your it was worth it?
My it was worth it this week, I'm going to say I got a new kind of ginger chew. It's a mango ginger chew. It's very exotic. You get it at the corner store. I was like not feeling well last week and I had really bad vertigo. So I needed something, especially while Yasmeen and I were waiting in line 2.5-3 hours to see a comedy act that we very silly, we paid money to see these things and it was not worth it, but that's not what we're talking about today.
We paid money to stand in line. We'll talk about that another time.
We're talking about things that were worth it. And this time it was my ginger chews. It's just like a little chewy thing that you pop in your mouth and it's candy, but it's medicinal. So you don't have to think of it as candy. And it was making me feel better when I needed it. So it was definitely worth it.
I like that though. We just mentioned that this comedy show was not worth it. But it was a past episode. It was worth it to buy the tickets.
You know, moving targets. Didn't I talk about that earlier?
Yeah,
that's
moving
right.
Targets. They're always moving.
You got to adapt.
We know for next year.
Oh, yeah, we know.
But anyways.
Tweets were tweeted.
Tweets were tweeted. That is right.
The proper authorities were notified.
That is correct.
So, Pibo, what was your "it was worth it"? So something that you spent money on.
I'm trying to figure out if it was worth it because I'm like, what did I spend money on this week? This week has just been ripping and roaring. I hope it was worth it. This will be one that might be a moving target, but I paid for a self-tape audition. So you guys, I don't know, being an actor, like, is it worth it? But in general, like, that's my question about acting. But so rather than having like a neighbor come over and trying to figure out the lighting in my house and just like having maybe a not great quality audition that I would send to a casting director, I went to a studio and I worked with an acting coach who I've worked with before, and it was done in 30 minutes and I was able to send a beautiful, very nice audition to the casting office rather than my half-ass thing that I would have from my house. Not that I'm sending out half-ass auditions on purpose in general, but it just was a slicker quality. So I would like to think it was worth it because I was able to go into the city, do it, get home, and not have all the headaches that normally go along with me doing my self-tape audition. So it was worth it.
Yeah. Investing in your sanity, investing in your career sounds worth it to me.
That's right.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Sapiwe, for joining us today.
Well, y'all are just so sweet. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So where can people find you? Anything you want to plug? Let the people know what's up.
Oh, the people can find me at Sapiwe NYC. That's SIPIWENYC. On the Instagram, mostly. I'm also on Twitter, but Instagram's where I happen at. And then I'm on the upcoming season of Orange is the New Black, and I was on it last season as well. I play a character called Adiola, and that drops July 26th. So tune in on Netflix, get your passwords in order, because it's going to be a great season, and it's the last season of the entire series.
Oh, how
tears
special.
Emojis.
Cheers emojis.
Tears or cheers?
Tears and cheers.
Tears. I just got Invisalign, so I have like a mild lisp. You'll have to excuse me. But I'm overcoming.
That's our show. You can catch us back here every single Tuesday. Next week on Money Haha, we'll be talking about FOMO spending.
Send us your stories, questions, and ideas for future episodes. We would love to hear your lovely voice. And here's how to send it to us. First, record a voice memo on your phone. Kick it off by telling us your first name and where you are, or you can remain anonymous. Then share your story or question or comment in around 30 seconds or so. And once you've done that recording, attach the memo to an email and send it to hi@moneyhahapod.com. That is hi@moneyhahapod.com.
If you like the podcast, show that support. Rate us. Leave a great review wherever you're listening to this right now. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode.
That's right. Follow us and tweet us at moneyhahapod on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Dara M. Wilson on Twitter, and Yasmin is at Yasmin K on Instagram.
Money Haha is a production of the Even app. Learn more at even.com.
It's hosted by me, Dara M. Wilson.
And me, Yasmin Khan.
Our executive producer is Jane Liebrock.
Our producer is Phil Circus.
Our designer is Allison Chan.
Our social media manager is Nicole Maltrotti.
Our production manager is Adejoke Adejoke.
Our copywriter is Kelly Anakin.
And our theme music is Money by Antique Naked Soul.
I will never loan you no money.
Until next week, have a nice life.
Let me tell you some things from the Inc.com article about making this work.